Disturbance for others. those spent plundering riches, animals, women, etc.
Activities from previous
hundreds and millions of lifetimes. By our mature calculation, we can't actually understand the reactions we're getting. And normally, a conditioned soul sees from a materialistic point of view. And what normally happens is hankering and lamentation. We lament about the things that we lost in the past, and then we're hankering for what we might get in the future. So when we're put through not so much reversals, but when the Lord tests us in different ways or puts impediments on our path, we become implicated sometimes because we want to rectify the situation, but we fail to see how that situation is arranged by Krishna and how we should use it in order to bring ourselves closer to Krishna. In the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. So when we accumulate wealth, or we have a certain amount of education, or a good name in society, when that is taken away from us, we actually fall into a material whirlpool of anxiety and distress, not seeing how that is actually a blessing of Krishna, that those resources might have made us stumble on our sojourn back home, Bhakti Godhead. We hear Queen Kunti earlier in the Bhagavatam explaining how wealth, family parentage, beauty and knowledge sometimes get in the way of one's ability to fully surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, sometimes Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, he will act in such a way to take away our material comforts, or to test our dependence on him as opposed to our dependence on our material assets. So if there's an economic depression or there's a recession, people sometimes try to hog their money, they try to hide it due to intense attachment and getting to anxiety about these things. As Prabhupada here strictly says, that we enter into the darkest region, and that dark region is material anxiety. This material attachment, which is based on the mode of ignorance, not having the real knowledge that everything is belonging to Krishna. So Krishna takes as he pleases, and Krishna gives as he pleases. So when we fight that quality of Krishna, we're always defeated, because Krishna is supremely independent, and everything Krishna does is perfect. According to time, place, and circumstance, whatever Krishna does is actually perfect. But if we fail to see this, we will be in material anxiety. We will have doubts about Krishna. We'll have doubts about Krishna's reciprocation. We'll have doubts about Krishna's presence in our lives, because we're using our materially afflicted condition to try and understand from a very minute point of view the situation we're in terms of family, nation, globally, what to speak of, the universe that we're living in. So we're very limited in that respect. So Lord Krishna advises us, Lord Chaitanya advises us in this connection, that we should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. Prahlad Maharaj speaks about this as well, in terms of happiness, that we tolerate happiness and distress, and it comes in this material world because it is cyclic, it comes and goes. Why should we hanker? Why should we be attached just to having happiness? Why should we try to fight off distress? It is going to come. Either way, we have no strength to control that. So we should not become agitated, but we should tolerate with knowledge. We should tolerate understanding that Krishna is the source of everything, and Krishna acts in such a way to produce the best love, the best type of attachment, so that we can get to remember him very quickly and end our relationship with material existence in a gross and in a subtle way. So Lord Brahma is speaking like this to to preach Maharaj so that he doesn't lament his yajna has ceased because there is no horse, but he should just focus on his duty as being an ideal king. And only one side we see the actions of Lord Indra, because Indra in a very subtle way became envious of Preacher Maharaj, and he couldn't bear the idea that Preacher Maharaj would not only be on the same level as him in terms of performing these horse sacrifices, but even be greater than him in terms of his character. So therefore, Indra did his best to steal this horse. Lord Brahma continues to speak. The king of heaven was creating a disturbance in the midst of sacrifice by stealing the sacrificial horse. These attractive, sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general. We do know that in the Gita, Krishna speaks, Yajna acharati shrestha sattat imatam jnana sayatramanam krute lokastha anvartate. So if we think of that verse and we see here the position of the brahmanas during this time, how much they were respected in society, they were the leaders in society, and one of them had spoken or had acted in such an uncultured way. And here Sringi's father explains how for all these sins they will be responsible. And these sins that that Shanuka Rishi is speaking about is the social destruction, the animal slaughter, the killing of people, injuring the animals and women. He takes that on his lap and says, we have to accept the responsibility because it is due to our contamination that these things will happen. So from a gross point of view, of course, if we do not have knowledge, if we do not have Prabhupada's purport, it's difficult to understand how Sringi was it explains that Sringi had Brahma Tejas. He was very powerful even at that young age. And he was trained as a Brahmachari, so he was very powerful. He had the training and he had the power, the Brahma Tejas. But still with that, he had become contaminated in his subtle understanding of his position. He had become contaminated. Similarly, we see with Ajala, he was, of course, for a very long time practicing. He was a Brahmana and was performing so many religious activities. From an external point of view, he had the training, he came from a good family. However, he became contaminated from a subtle point of view by seeing the lower activities of those in the mode of ignorance. And that subtle contamination stayed with him until it manifested in the form of action. In Sringi, we see here that the sinful activity began with him speaking harsh words to the emperor. And it is with this contamination that the entire culture was destroyed. So in the English language, they normally say, in like a nebula and out like a cloud. Or you just leave a little bit of crack for Maya to enter, and she will take over. If you leave a little bit of crack and on a dam wall with enough force, the water will break down the walls and the water will go rushing through. It will go gushing through. So this subtle contamination, Shrindy's father is talking about, he is seeing it as the rise of great social disruption, and he blames himself and he blames his son in terms of their social position, that they have become contaminated, and it is because of that that there will be so much disturbance in society. So because the Brahmins were seen as the head of the systems, in the head of the social order, nonetheless all the other parts of that body were equally as important. So the subtle contamination began with one part of the body thinking that it is supreme and everyone else is the subject. Whereas the normal relationship between the kings, the Rajarishis, and the Brahmanas is that the Brahmanas, they guide the saintly personalities who take including politicians at that time, the kings, they would take care of the prajna and the citizens based on the guidance of the brahmanas. But if we have such so-called brahmanas or priestly order who are so proud and who take their birth so seriously, not considering their guna and their karma, then there is contamination, and that contamination will go into every other social order, and that is why there is so much chaos in society. The termination of that respect, the hand does not respect the head is not respecting the arm, the legs don't want to move, therefore there is chaos in society, because there is a lack, there is no unifying bond, there is no Krishna in the center. In Krishna consciousness, we understand that intrinsically we are all parts and parcels of Krishna. And we are united on that spiritual platform, although externally we manifest in different bodies, and depending on our relationship with the modes of material nature, we act accordingly. So due to this great offense by Sringi, there was contamination in society, and that was the beginning of Kali Yuga. So similarly, when Lord Brahma was speaking with Prithvi Maharaj, he explained this as well, about this sinful contamination and how it spreads into society. He further pointed out that the sinful activity, the sinful activity that had been created by Lord Indra, and it was very subtle, not wanting anyone to be greater than him in terms of performing the horse sacrifices. These sinful activities become haribi, they become very attractive to the hearts of the citizens. So if you're in a leadership position, or if you're in an influential position, on a highly elevated position, however you act will impact on your subordinates. So because Lord Indra was acting in that way, Lord Brahma could see that his sinful actions and his sinful mentality will contaminate all those who are his subjects, because Lord Indra, he is the king of the heavens. So everyone will act in essence like him. So if the brahmanas take advantage of the mentality of Sringi, which is what they did, then they will also collapse, then they will also perform sinful activities, they will also give rise to sinful activities in society. This is why Sringi's father is very, very bewildered by what his son had done, because he understood the severity, the subtle contamination that had entered into his son's consciousness. So these sinful activities, they stunt religious progress, they stunt the spiritual vision of those who are under the shelter. So although Parikshit Maharaj was powerful enough to counter curse, he still just accepted this arrangement. He tolerated the arrangement of the Lord. He didn't try to counteract. He wasn't agitated, not the least, by what Sringi had done. Before this, we hear how when he was walking back, he was introspective. He was thinking, had I done the wrong thing? Maybe I was a bit too harsh. But this, a devotee is always thinking, always improving their behavior, improving their character, etc. So he was thinking like this. He wasn't thinking in terms of, how could he not respect me, I'm the king, etc. He was thinking how he could have dealt better with the situation. So a devotee is always thinking like this, how to deal with the situation best at hand. We see Lord Brahma is doing that exactly. There's this huge chaos with this horse sacrifice, what to do with Lord Indra and what to do with King Prithu, who wants to perform his duty. So he advises both of them in different ways. Lord Buddha also did the same thing. He appeared at a time where people were misusing the Vedic text to perform animal slaughter. So he thought at that point, okay, Kaladeshapat for time, place, and circumstance, I will turn them away from the Vedic texts altogether and introduce this principle of non-violence, just so that they do not continue with these sinful activities. So like this, an acharya is always thinking how to make progress or how to give progression to those who are his subordinates. Lord Shiva does the same thing with his bhutas, the hobgoblins, or all his friends, the ghosts, the people he gives shelter to. He gradually tries to elevate their consciousness. They are very faithful to him and they listen to every single thing that he does. So this is the position of one who is in a very elevated position, is highly influential. And the second point that's pointed out here is the administrative machine without assuming responsibility for the prosperous condition of the citizens. Here it speaks about the plundering of these citizens, not only the human beings but also the animals. This process of taxation, which is a method of cheating in different parts of the world. Different countries have different standards for tax. In some countries, those who earn less pay more tax, and those who earn more pay less taxes. So it is it's a form of cheating, actually. And these taxes are, of course, these revenues are not distributed to the citizens in times of need. These tax revenues are actually going to the pockets of the persons who are occupying these positions. And this is very horrible because it's made society very, very unstable. This is why we have, in history, we've seen we've had so many coups, so many uprisings, so many demonstrations, marches, overthrowing governments, whether it's in South America, Central Europe, Central Africa, North Africa. All these things are happening because the leaders have become contaminated and they are plundering the taxes. They are taking advantage, here it is mentioned, of women and children. And of course we understand animals, the elderly, so many different groups of people in society are being exploited. We see now this issue, this human trafficking is a big problem in society. Women are actually meant to reserve or maintain culture in society. So if women become exploited, if they're sold in society as slaves, their personality and their character is being degraded, and they are taught that they can actually do this because it is their body, they can do whatever they want to do with it. So the cycle of samsara continues, the sinful life continues in society. Women get sold in the Ukraine, Bangladesh, in Africa. They get sold as sex slaves or workers in different institutions. This is all going on, and this is a disturbance in society because there's such a high crime rate, drug rate. Families are breaking down. The social system is also breaking down. The diseases are on the rise. Alcohol consumption. So many things are breaking down in the social system because of this plundering. And riches, of course, people become mentally agitated trying to maintain their riches because they've been cheated by the banks. So they try to hide their wealth in different offshore accounts. You know, they try to hide their wealth by burying it. So many different things they try to do because they're thinking, you know, the next government that comes, they're going to introduce this tax and they're going to plunder my wealth, they're going to take my wealth, I've worked so hard for it. Or there's so much inflation, what is going to happen? So there's so much mental anxiety going on. This process of taxation causes a lot of distress, actually. Preacher Maharaj explains his system of governance, of course. Preacher Maharaj is he's a Kshatriya Vaishyavatara Krishna. The process of tax exemption is explained very nicely by him. It is not actually meant for sense, taxes are not meant for sense gratification of so called administrative heads. In Kali Yuga, the tax system is mainly to the advantage of these executive heads and the elite groups in society. Tax revenues should never be distributed amongst governmental leaders. Sometimes we hear, when I was studying politics, the president of Zimbabwe, he would fly his wife to London. She would go shopping in Harrods, Piccadilly Center Square, and they were talking about the euro and the pound, so the conversion rate is quite steep. And looking at the country where he's trying to leave, you know, Zimbabwe, about 10 decades ago, you're going to a shop and the shelves will be empty because there's no food. So he would starve his own people he was trying to take care of. He would use all that revenue for his own personal sense gratification. He had his own plane, he bought his own plane. He'd fly his family all over the world, but there was no food for his subjects. Now, one thing that a leader or a king in society is meant to do is make sure that there's sufficient grain, there's sufficient milk for his citizens. And I remember thinking to myself, this, and I was a fringy practitioner of Krishna consciousness. I wasn't that serious in Krishna consciousness. But still at that point I was thinking, this person is a demon. That you live in a country that is so rich, but at the same time you starve your citizens. Not just theoretically starving them, but there was actually, he wouldn't allow any import. No one was allowed to import anything. You couldn't import any food. So people were literally starving, unless you were a farmer and you were growing your own food. Like here you go to the supermarket and you buy your milk, there's Sanitarium, there's Vitasoy, there's this option, that option. There's so many different options. But in that country you go, you just find, if you're lucky, you'll find a whole stack of it. But in most places, it would be empty. So such leaders in society, obviously there's taxes, but where are the taxes going? Taxes are meant to be given out to the citizens during times of need. When there are droughts, when there are depressions, when there's inflation, there should be something in the reserves to take care of the citizens. But this is not being done because all that tax revenue is used for their own personal self-aggrandizement, their own personal sense gratification. So the position of citizens in Kali Yuga is very horrible. It is very, very terrible because the king and his government, they're exacting taxes, but in such an unjust way. That is why society, it is not peaceful. What you speak of, a happy society, it is not peaceful. So by this pastime, we can see how subtle contamination can cause a major disruption to a culture. Not just Brahminical culture, but any culture, when there's pride, where there's arrogance, where there's deceit, manipulation, duplicity, all these traits can actually destroy already existing relationships. Right? And Shamika Rishi here, he takes responsibility, and this is one thing that modern day leaders do not do. They do not take responsibility. There's always investigations going on, denials going on, paying off government leaders, paying off the police, because no one wants to take responsibility. So responsibility should be taken, and in that way people will learn to actually try and behave like human beings. Because no one accepts responsibility, then it's a free-for-all. There's no rules, there's no regulations. you commit a white collar crime, blue collar crime, corporate crimes, manslaughter. Some people commit murder, they're let off bail. So many different things like that are happening. But in a society where subtle contamination or sinful activity is going on, there will be a collapse. It cannot be steady, and it will not make the citizens themselves happy. Specifically here, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, it is foretold herein that in the absence of good monarchical government, everyone will be the cause of disturbance for others by plundering riches, animals, women, etc. So whether it's across borders, within borders, within tribes, outside tribes, you name it, it is a survival, as they say, survival for the fittest. Prabhupada always says this place, this world is not meant for survival. You cannot survive in this world. The mentality of always plundering, of always taking, of trying to enjoy that which already belongs to Krishna, it is a sinful activity in itself. So although persons may be living on the land, or they might be trying to cultivate a simple way of living, as long as they do not recognize the position of Krishna as the Ishtavasya, as the owner of everything, then that is a sinful activity. And same thing, kings, the brahmanas, in their pure state, they understood this Ishtavasya principle that everything belongs to Krishna. And we lead our life in such a way that we execute that point, everything belongs to Krishna. Absence of that leads to sinful activities, and sinful activities will penetrate from the gross out into the subtle sphere of our existence. As we see, it ends up here. Shankaracharya explains, all these sins we shall be responsible, and these sins are these rogues, thieves, social destruction, and killing, injuring women, children, etc. This is the proof, actually, of sinful life. And we can see it all around us. Only a Krishna-conscious government or a Krishna-conscious way of leadership is actually the one beneficial system that will save humanity from its darkest hours of living a life of sin, living a life of ignorance. So in this section here, we'll conclude by saying that we learn from King Parikshit to tolerate the reversals, the shortcomings, seeing them as Krishna's will, Krishna's desire. We tolerate them with knowledge, and we try as best as we can to purify ourselves internally and externally so that our subtle contaminations do not manifest externally. And in that way we can really live the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any questions or comments.
So you say that before you practice is a form of cheating. So could you elaborate?
Okay, modern day taxing system. Taxes were actually meant the administrative class would collect taxes in society and keep them in reserves so that when the country or in any time of need, these taxes would be used for all the citizens for their benefit. Make sure there's enough clean water, make sure there's enough housing, there's enough grain, there's enough food supply for all the citizens. But we see in Kali Yuga that the system of taxing is based on cheating, because first of all, in the Vedic taxing system, you would be taxed if you could actually beat, if you did have an income. In Kali Yuga, whether some places, I don't know about Australia, but it doesn't matter what type of income you have, low income, medium income, high income, you still get taxed. And in most countries, low-income people get taxed more than high-income. So those who make more money, in some places, they don't get taxed at all. They hide their wealth in offshore accounts. They pay people off for white-collar crimes in the corporate world. So it becomes unfair and unjust. That's why we have, when there's all these budget taxing policies issued, society, they have, you know, they have rights. Like, how do you say in English? They have protests because they can see how the system is not actually saying what they should be doing. And these taxes oftentimes go into the pockets of the executive heads because they become more and more wealthy. They get increased salaries, they get $1 million, $5 million bonuses. And where is all that coming from? It is coming from taxing the citizens. Their taxes are being paid, the taxes they get from the citizens, they use to buy, you know, cars for the mayor, for the prime minister, private jets, private planes. This is all, you know, citizen taxes. So who is actually benefiting? And then we have a social system or a health system and a transport system that's not working, but you're paying taxes. And everything else socially is not being provided. So therefore, citizens, they get unhappy. So the taxes are not actually being used for what they should be. And it's not only in like politics or whatever. There was a case in somewhere in Asia, Japan or China. There was a lady who was married to some Christian priest, and she was a pop star. And they sponsored her about $50 million to become a pop star. And the reason why it was such a huge issue, because the church, I'm not sure if it's somewhere, one Asian country, they get subsidized by the government. So the government is actually paying the church, and they're using that money to maintain a pop star who makes $50 million. And people do not know these things. It somehow leaked, and everyone was like, this is where our tax money is going, to a 20-year-old pop star's career. So it's not only in government executives, but also in religious institutions. You can see the subtle contamination happening, so-called taxation, but it's not benefiting the project at all. It's benefiting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals. So it is a sinful activity.
Is the country, Australia has a tax called the goods and services tax.
Goods and services tax.
If you, anything you buy, it's automatically paying tax.
Yeah, there's GST, but then there's also higher forms of taxes when you get to the employment market. There's different levels of tax, and you know, at the end of the day, you get your paycheck, and they've worked out a system for. So if you make $800, they tax you this much. If you earn between $10,000 and $20,000, they tax you that much. If you earn over $1 million, the taxes, and it's not a fair system. Those who make more get taxed less, and it shouldn't be like that.
Says that we preach as much as we can to improve the situation and spread our consciousness, Krishna consciousness. But there are people who are not going to listen anyway.
Yeah, people are still not listening. You see how many people are here today.
I just saw one crime report yesterday that even in India, one father sold her daughter. For prostitution.
Yeah.
So there's so much disturbance, social disruptions there.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And you know, sometimes in India, what I find is they try to do it better than the Western countries. Mm-hmm. They try to really hammer the point. Like I listened to one lecture, His Holiness Devotee Swami was saying, not only do you want to have breakfast in bed, but breakfast, lunch and dinner in bed. Which means whatever we're doing in the West, they're trying to do it better. So have a look in Bollywood. Not saying anyone should go and watch Hollywood, but there's Hollywood in the Western world. There's so many different, you know, things on the television and movie scene. But the way Bollywood is so bodily orientated, much worse than Hollywood, it is very sensual. 3 hours of sensual activities. And that is what they call Bollywood, and it is confusing for people coming, especially from that tract of land, because most people, when they come even to the Hare Krishna temple, they think this is Indian culture. Then they watch Bollywood and they're thinking, oh, this must be Indian culture too. I remember Bhakta Prabhu told us once he went to an interfaith program and there was some Indian dancing. He thought, yeah, I'm going to see some nice Bharatanatyam or Odissi dancing. No, Bollywood dancing. This is India. Now that is what they show as culture. It has degraded so much that now Bollywood dancing is Indian culture. So it's a deviation.
The problem is that we cannot even see and daughter this thing, and we can't do much. So we are always stuck in a dilemma.
I mean, we tolerate, yes, we do. Srila Prabhupada says to counteract the situation is to spread the Sankirtan movement. He says this in the fourth canto, where he sees how people are not performing sacrifices, they cannot even perform proper kamakanda sacrifices, so many different things. At least let's just teach them how to perform the Sankirtan Yajna. That's easy and simple enough. Prabhupada said to counteract this situation in Kali Yuga, where there's a lack of sacrifice, there's a lack of yajna going on. Prabhupada says to counteract it. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam. Prabhupada quotes that first. He said, this is how we counteract the current civilization. According to time, place, circumstance, we can do it by opening different branches, temples, places where we teach people about the principles in Bhagavad Gita. So many different ways, not just one way, but we can present Sanatana Dhamma in so many diverse ways, and this will counteract the ignorant consciousness of the polluted Kali Yuga. So it is the spread Krishna consciousness. That's how we can counteract this unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. By some material, by opening up schools and this and that, that is nice, but that doesn't counteract it. You have to go to the root of the problem and remove that contaminated consciousness. And you do that by the Sankirtan Yajna of Lord Chaitanya. In our interaction with devotees, I mean, subtle contaminations go from wanting recognition, prestige, name, and being seen, respected. And how we know it's a really subtle contamination is that when these things are not present in our lives, we become disturbed. So if someone does not hit the floor and offer dandavas when we come into the temple room or outside, if that agitates us, if that disturbs us, that the devotees do not act in such a way, then that is a subtle contamination. Then we are actually desirous of a position. We are desirous that we be treated a certain way, and if we don't, we get upset and angry. Just as Sringi saw, my father was not respected externally, I'm angry and I'm going to curse. So based on how we act when we're in the association of devotees, somehow or other all these things come up, but it is how we respond to them. Do we get angry or upset, or do we recognize the contamination and work on it without allowing it to manifest? So there's different techniques given in terms of how we act in Vaishnava association or even with outside people. Lord Chaitanya says it doesn't matter who it is, we just always treat other people as Chaitanya, and we try to see ourselves as servants of Krishna. And when these subtle contaminations come, we counteract them by refocusing our mind on chanting the holy name and practically applying the principles Prabhupada gave us. So these contaminations, whether it's pride or envy, we interact with someone and they say something. What happens in the heart? Or they say, oh, Australians or people from Adelaide are just dumb and inconsiderate, they're like this and like that. And if it goes into our heart, if it stays in 10 years later, it still bothers you, then you know that we have an attachment to our place of birth. We know the attachment is there because we still hold on to the bodily designation. Or if someone says, oh, you black people are like this, this and that, people from Africa eat flies and da 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 da. If I'm still associating myself with that, it will bother me. But if I understand that I'm actually, it's just my external color, it must be a big deal. Then it means that I'm gradually, you know, progressing, I'm understanding there's just more to things. So we see how we deal with these contaminations is very, very important. How we react, do we, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, do we try to counteract it or do we tolerate it? And Prabhupada mentioned earlier that we tolerate all these things, that is how we deal with anatta. We tolerate them with knowledge, try to get rid of them, because how to get rid of anatta is in the books of Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam. How to deal with anatta is we tolerate with knowledge and we don't try to counteract or counter curse. Okay, I think I should stop there. Don't try to remember the time. Keep Prabhupada. Prabhupada.